all over me. This is your parasitic Dr. Tar.
This is Professor Non-Parasitic Heather.
This is the Midnight Gadfly.
And this is Stone-Free Dr. Head. And together we bring you
Major Holy Rocks. Say.
Look out for the rats!
Oh, yeah, sorry. My pick this week was Puppet Masters, 1994. I did see this in the theater when it first came out.
Too bad for you.
I know, right?
I thought it was a made-for-TV movie.
You know, all right. This is 1994. This is kind of like your standard Hollywood mid-range budget movie. It doesn't hold up well on second viewing, but it just kind of encapsulates what was kind of going on in 94. But anyway, the story is based on Robert Heinlein's novel, The Puppet Masters, about a parasitic alien invasion of Earth.
It was published in 1950, by the way.
51, right? Yes. Right? 51?
Or 50? 51, 50.
Yeah.
Invasion. Yeah. And anyway, I'm just going to throw it out to you guys. I mean, I hadn't seen this. I just kind of picked this on the...
I'd never seen it before. And I purposely avoided it because...
Oh, really?
It looked too much like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And it was only after watching this that I saw, like, oh, okay, I see the influences for X-Files here. When I saw how old it was, I'm like, okay, the guy who did the Invasion of the Body Snatchers wrote that in 1955. Yes. I was like, oh, so Heinlein really influenced him.
Yes.
And influenced the X-Files tremendously because we have this government agency whose job is to seek out and find, you know, this kind of this alien invasion, you know, and we have the tropes that we see so well in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, where you have this kind of hive mind, people are being taken over, and I saw a little bit of the Tingler here as well.
I thought that
so
too.
And we're not talking about stones either, so.
no it's right. So there are parts that I really like, because I like Heinlein. I like his fiction.
Have you ever read this book?
No, I've never read the book.
Absolute trash.
Really? See, I love Starship Troopers, and I love some of those other things, but I've never read this one.
It's really bad. It's a basic book. Misogynic.
And you can't spell either.
I can't spell.
I'm your misogynic therapist here. So
it's just not a really good book. I differ from you. I'm not a big Heinlein fan.
Okay. Well, I what I like about him, especially like in Starship Troopers, is that you can't tell if he's delving into like satire or not, or is he really that kind of that really right leaning, like gung ho? And that's what I kind of liked about it, because there's a lot of satire in the book. It's tongue in cheek, and I've only read other sporadic things, I've never read this, but so I like the fact that I see influence and in how this story kind of projected things. But as a movie, it's very cheap looking. Things that happen that like out of nowhere.
It's $15 million. To make that,
it wasn't a good movie. No. One I'd never.
It looks like
again.
Everything else around it at the time.
Yeah, it looks like you know a cheap, studio made movie and some bad special effects, some overacting, you know,
or underacting,
I
think Donald Sutherland just sucked ass in this movie, man. His acting was so horrible. You know, he didn't act.
It's like a paycheck. He's like,
yeah, he didn't act.
I'll deliver these lines, but I'm not going to act.
Yeah.
No, it looked like a straight, like made to video, shot to video kind of movie. It looked like something like that. And,
Full Moon. But, it looked like a Full Moon production at points. Yeah. It did.
It was a step up.
I'm going to say this. I ended up enjoying the movie. You know what I mean? Like, by the time I got to the end of it, I'm like, okay, I treat this as a B movie. You know, and there's a bunch of absurd things that happen here. We've got Richard Belzer.
I can't stand Richard Belzer, no matter what.
I can't either.
Because he always plays the same character.
Yeah, I just want to punch him in his face.
Well, you'd probably break him in five pieces. Let me look at him.
I'll pass him like stones.
I liked him on, was it Homicide?
Yes.
And then he
as Munch.
As Munch. But then he was Munch on...
SBU, SUV, whatever the fuck.
SU.
Munchausen's by proxy. That's I like that one.
Four-wheel drive SUV. Yeah.
Four-wheel drive SUV.
There's the title of this episode.
Law and Order Head. Neutral. We're not going Dr. anywhere.
Dr. Head, you have to remind me. That's the name of this episode.
Which
Munchausen? Munchausen by proxy.
Munchausen by proxy. Yeah,
that'll fuck everybody up. All the algorithms.
Some of the special effects occasionally weren't bad, you know.
They
actually came out, you know, kind of good and a little creepy.
Yeah,
you know, and I like that. The main flaw in their whole thing is. These, you know, they had these things on their back, but you
the parasites, yeah.
And then when they would take their shirt off, it was this big kind of rounded
like a manta ray
thing. But when the shirt's on, you couldn't see it.
Right.
But then occasionally you'd see somebody with the stem up at top of their neck, and I'm going
misplacement.
That's it was just shoddy continuity, you know, but. They probably didn't give a shit, you know.
It was a B movie. Could be misplacement too, you know. Maybe they just I just happened to land here, you know. Just
well, I think a lot of these movies get made because they're not talented enough to give a shit.
I honestly think there's a lack of
94 too, so they're like cranking this stuff.
Okay, but it doesn't look like 94 to me. It looks like 1982 or
that's what I thought too.
Yeah. I thought it was like a made-for-TV movie.
And, yeah, and going back to that, you know, X-Files was big, too, and it just...
Yeah, that's probably why
it reeks of that, and just the whole... Yeah.
It does. I think that's why it came out. There's no other reason to put it out. If X-Files had not been so big by this...
And it leans into it, too.
Yeah, they would not have made this, you know, because we have the Skulder and Mully, or Muller and Scully characters. or Skulder and Mully, either one.
Kind of.
But I can see where that idea came from. You know, you mix that and Kolchak, and then that's where you have, you know, the X-Files come in. But I like the influence, but the movie itself wasn't great. I mean,
I didn't find it so horrible. It was enjoyable, but is it a great movie?
I like
movie,
the aliens. Though? No, I mean, I like the setup. Yeah. The setup was nice. I like the buildup. Although, things just happen.
Invasion,
the action happens out of nowhere. Like, they just, like, pull out guns and start shooting within, like, 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God, people. Wow. And it was so nonplussed, like, non-emotional. Like, okay, we need to get out of here. You know, like, it was just, like, no explanation. Like, here's something that happens, and these kids are making money. And, like, there's a lot of stuff we just don't know. And they're not taking the time to tell us. It's like, no, we'll just, you'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. You know, but the non-emotional acting, I thought, is Donald Sutherland just being like so? Because he was so much scarier.
Is he one of them?
In Invasion of the Body Snatchers, it was so much of a better performance for him. But this one, I thought, okay, are they setting it up to where he's going to become an alien, which inevitably he does? And I thought, is he just being flat because he doesn't care, doesn't give a shit, or is he just flexing, or is he just supposed to be detached because he's like the bad father? You know, he's a hard ass. He just like do it my way. I mean, there wasn't enough nuance or anything in the story. It was just like, we're going to give you information. It's not all going to fit. We're going to throw in some aliens,
and then kind of Kane limping too. It's funny how it's very prevalent through all the movies, and at the very end when he suddenly is like just kind of like
sauntering off like
and nobody notices it.
But you know, fly a helicopter now.
But even the parasite should have known that. Oh yeah, he uses a cane all the time. Maybe I should be doing that too.
Right.
You know, all the way around.
a lot of discontinuity. Yeah, exactly. With the best line in it is his son, you know, you wouldn't shoot your dad, and he shoots him. Uh-huh. And he goes, oh yeah, would you have shot me? Oh yeah. I like that.
I finally have respect for you now, son. You shot me.
At
the beginning.
In the cradle and the silver spoon. The boy shot his dad in the moon.
At the beginning, I started laughing because how many times, I kind of like three, where he's like chasing someone and they get to like atop of the stairs, all of a sudden they jump out and like smash him in the face.
Yeah,
that happened like three fucking times. Yeah. You think the guy would have learned? It was just so stupid.
Well, I like the fact that at the beginning you see this kind of influx of the aliens.
Yeah,
the kids that see them, the kids go off, and then they cut. They don't do any kind of like explanation, and then all of a sudden, I'm going, what the fuck is this spaceship? Jesus Christ, this is fucking low budget. And then you find out that it's this trap for idiots who believe in space beings, but there are space beings. You know what I mean? It's this whole kind of like dichotomy there that is actually pretty clever. Then you have
David Keith. Right, Keith David is great, and Yaphet Otto or Yaphet Kotto are also.
Yaphet.
He plays he's got about three lines.
Yeah, Yaphet Kotto is barely in there.
Yaphet Kotto.
And they're all in homicide.
He had a chest congestion,
and they are all in. Yeah, they're in. There's him and Belzer. From homicide. The main guy, who I can't remember his name, and I don't ever think he ever made another movie.
Did you say cunt? Remember his name?
Yes. I did say it. Because the guy was horrible. He was the worst actor. Yeah. Shut your fucking mouth. Jesus Christ.
All through the fucking movie.
All through the movie. He thought he was. That's why I said
I'm waiting for the aliens to invade me orally.
No shit. No wonder they invaded you. Get fucking open orifices everywhere. So Jesus.
I'm thinking like Keith David's going, didn't I just play a much better role in the thing? Yes. You know, like a decade before this.
He did.
It's much more intimidating.
Wasn't that Yaphet Kotto?
And Yaphet Kotto was also
an alien.
Like 13 years ago. Years ago, I was in an alien movie. And then there's beyond
Keith
that.
David was in the thing.
Oh, really? Speaking about alien, he's in there too.
You're right. And that guy, David Keith, was in the thing.
No, Keith David.
Keith David. Yeah,
Keith right. David. David Keith was in other ones.
Yeah, he was in
David Carradine.
Keith David.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's, we know Donald Sutherland can act.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, he can play wonderfully nuanced characters. And this one, it was just like,
I was $50 million.
To his credit, I think Dr. Head, you're probably right. He probably looked at it and said, I'm supposed to be this kind of unemotional, you know, head of this thing. And you know, I'm not supposed to emote a lot, you know. And so I think that's part of it. But he probably will go, yeah, this is easy.
Yeah.
I can say words.
Yeah, sure. I can say words.
I will say that. I like this movie because it's balanced with really clever things that were done great, Yeah. And really absurdly stupid, like, just cliches. You're just like...
Yeah.
So, like, the two main characters, the Scully and Mulder, they are the only ones that are not affected by being... having dope sick from not being connected to the symbiote.
You know, yeah, which, like, is kind of bullshit. Because in the story, wasn't it like it burned the people out? That
Richard Belzer, you know, his character, he dies. He commits suicide because it was such an
addicted.
Yeah, such an
well, it's Richard Belzer
with withdrawals. Yeah, we were kind of satisfied seeing pumping that air into his veins. That is true. I disagree. I happen to like Richard Belzer
tremendously. No, I have no problem with that. Just
I just never have. Maybe it was his comedy. I've seen him do stand up before. I'm like, it's not funny. You're not funny.
No, I never liked him as a stand up.
Agree.
I like his acting, but there again, my main thing is Homicide: Life on the Streets, which is one of my all time favorite TV shows ever.
And that's probably his best role anyway.
It is, and he's really good in it. You know, and
he's good in SVU because he's with Ice-T.
Well, Ice-T, they're the only times I would ever watch it. When it revolved around those two, I would watch the show. If it was Mama Rama, whatever her name was.
Mariska Hargitay.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Oh, that hurt your jaw when you did that.
I just got Hargitay.
The guy who, he has one expression. Oh, I don't know what his name is.
I've got a poop.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But anyway. But yeah, the movie. That's what I liked. Midnight Gadfly, what you were talking about. I really liked the whole thing about the kids and the spaceship. You know, making this spaceship. Yeah. And I just thought that was so clever. That's in the book, too. So,
okay.
One of the best parts of the book, I think.
I like
that. They did bring up, I like the idea that, when they first found in the book, didn't they? When they first found the craft, didn't they find like all these other animals around it?
Yeah,
dead. Because it was like trying to find something to attach to.
Yes,
and it couldn't find anything. And I thought that was cool. And the idea that, and in the ship, didn't they find like little humanoid things or something like that? Like they said these things didn't breathe our atmosphere, but they were like little. I kind of remember that. It's been ages since I've
read
it. But anyway,
me too.
I just thought that was kind of neat that they brought some of that information back, and the fact that they could adapt to any kind of environment, or at least the genetic of the host or whatever, to survive that environment. But that was
just like Alien.
Yes, exactly.
Which is, I think, was the downfall for this movie. But yeah, because Alien's already been established, and it already uses like an alien method to, you know, control people, you know, the parasitic idea and all that. And you've seen it countless other times. What's the other movie that was based on the same story? The Brain Eaters?
Yeah, The Brain Eaters. Yes. I was going to bring that
which
up.
We should, that would be fun to do either. That one too.
You guys seen it? Have you seen it, Dr. Hitt?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
it's a good.
There are a couple of scenes that are really fun.
But what's that, Dr. Head?
Oh, the test that the Scully does when she unbuttons her blouse and like the guys don't look down her blouse. Like, oh, they must be aliens because they're not checking me out. I'm thinking like, I'm post me too. I'm thinking, I'm not going to look down your blouse because I'm purposely going to make eye contact with you because I don't want to be sued for harassment. That's where I was thinking, like, no, I'm not going to look at your chest. I'm going to stare
you. There you go. 1994.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, nope. And that was where my mind went. Like, the teenage boys would certainly be, you know, checking her out because she makes mention like her partner does like check her out. Like, you're doing it again, you know? Yeah. So obviously it doesn't, you know, she's aware of that.
And what's her partner?
Yeah, it's also the teacher response. You know, as a teacher, you're like,
exactly. I see only eyes.
Yeah. What? Where are? Oh, there you are.
Yeah. But
and then how do they take care of the aliens? They can't. These things are multiplying and spreading exponentially. You know.
Yes.
It really does. At one point, you're going, shit. Wait a minute. Let's go back to kind of War of the Worlds, you know. Mm-hmm.
It's a virus almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Encephalitis.
Encephalitis, which is, I think, pretty clever.
I do too. And yeah. Because it, you know, encephalitis attacks the brain, and they are 90% brain or whatever
yeah.
they and, said.
In the spinal 80%. Column. Yeah.
And there's a chance we could survive it. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, well, there's an antidote to it. Is there really for encephalitis?
No. No,
there isn't?
There's treatments, and you get through it or you don't.
Okay.
Encephalitis. Yeah, I think I had that when I was younger.
In the movie, don't they have some kind of a treatment that they can give them or something? And still in the hospital, but I think they, you know.
But the idea that to kill the parasite, got to put the host through like an extreme, whatever situation.
And then in the very end. Yes, that was the last one. Dun, dun, dun. I expected that question mark. I expected that question mark. Yeah. I was disappointed that it didn't happen.
Oh, saying that, at the very beginning, you know, when they showed the title, the opening, did that not look like a Roger Corman, early Roger Corman, with the title sequence?
Yes, I thought it did. Yes.
Yeah.
I would bet
that we were all laughing. Yeah, Lisa and I were laughing about that.
I would bet that was an homage to that. It was so blatant.
It could be because
I was looking at that and I'm like, you know, and it's possible that the director was trying to do something like a Corman movie. You know what I mean?
Who was the director?
Oh, Pete Barbuti,
Stuart, or I don't know. I can't read my own handwriting. Stuart something.
Patrick Stewart.
Make it so. Yes.
What's the name for directors?
Perfect. Make it so.
What they use when they want to be anonymous?
Alan Smithy.
Alan Smithy. Yeah. Smithy directed it.
Well, here's what I just found. I just found something out. You mentioned Picard. They now have the symbol of the Star Trek thing at Piccadilly Circus, and they said it now says Picard. Dilly. Piccadilly Circus.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Wait a minute.
Blue Fez would love that. No.
I thought you were going to lift that shirt. Lift it. Thank up. You. Thank you. No, yes. No. Thank you.
That was my homage to Picard.
Are we all taking our shirt off? Oh, wait. Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm tearing up.
Oh, my eyes.
This is called an insane tune-up.
Tuna.
You have to watch the YouTube. You have to watch the YouTube version to figure out what to look like.
Please don't. Please don't.
I like that.
Yeah, please.
I like our sense of mystery. Yes.
Is that the new weed format that you, or the weed strain that you smoke? Sense of mystery.
Sense of mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery. No, but that's a perfect name for something, isn't it? It's like. You would buy that, wouldn't you?
We're not going to tell you what it does. You're just going to find out.
It's a mystery.
All right. Yes. I'll take
it's
that.
It's the
trip.
Anticipation that kills you.
Right. Yes. Could be sense of million. Could be indica.
Ever hear of psilocybin, boys and girls?
That'll be.
I'll have more mushrooms on the pizza. Yeah,
that'll be the next alien. You know, cannibalian or cannibal alien. You know, cannibalian. Cannibalian. That'll be it. They invade through your lungs.
Anything else we need to talk about with this movie? We kind of already digressed.
No. It's a fun B movie. If you haven't seen it, it's kind of a fun watch late at night. It's okay.
I think
it's very, very X-File-ish.
Yeah.
Those make a lot of sense. It's kind of hit and miss. It's
action oriented.
Yeah, a lot of shooting going on. There's it's okay. I wouldn't
sex.
Watch it again.
There's some sex.
Yeah,
in there.
That shower scene pissed me off too. I've been violated.
I know.
Because it wasn't long enough? Is that what
you want? Me. Don't even take your clothes off. It looks so hot.
Looking at your eyes.
Dr. Head was pissed because he's like, I got this sock out for nothing?
That's right. Come on, man.
That's a wet sock.
Wait a minute. Dry sock.
That's right.
Not anymore.
I give this movie zero socks.
Yeah. Give it a footy.
My biggest criticism of this movie is its length.
Yeah.
I think it's way too long. It could have been, I might have enjoyed it even more if it had been maybe a half hour shorter.
It's tonally inconsistent too.
Like yes.
It tries to be all kinds of different types of movies, which at some point becomes enjoyable for me. You know what I mean? Because when I first started watching it, I did.
Diversity.
When I first started watching, I'm like, I can't get, I would watch 10 minutes and I'd be like, I'll come back to this.
I did.
And there was there was a point, I think it was with the spaceship. I'm like, all right. Yeah, that's pretty clever, you know, and now I'm just going to watch it from then on. And then it has every trope and cliche.
It does.
Storyline. It does have a lot of action.
How do you like when they figured out to use a thermal cam?
Yeah.
And then there's like only like 1 in 10 soldiers that had one. So they
Right.
I thought, oh my gosh,
our budget doesn't allow for all our soldiers to have these.
And we can't afford it.
Well, that is reality. Not every soldier has in the field has a.
I don't know anymore, but anyway.
Well, no, even now, because it's a point of contention.
Right.
But anyway.
We are only at 25 minutes, so.
That's enough for the movie.
If anybody would.
A little more than enough, I think. This could have been a review.
But it was enjoyable talking about it.
More enjoyable talking about it.
I'm glad I watched it. I liked the beginning of it. It got really silly.
The very beginning was
where
fun.
You see like everyone kind of gather and they show like here's is how it spreads. Again, I saw so many parallels to Invasion of the Body Snatchers in a lot of ways. So I can see the guy who wrote that and the thing, the guy who, you know, a lot of other movies borrowed from this. And so for me, that's what I'm like, okay, I have to give props to the originator to this, the story, the idea that, because so many of these tropes were taken and run more successfully in other movies and TV shows. But you know, it's a good origin story in that regard. It just wasn't well done. I mean, I prefer Starship Troopers, which still had its faults, but that has a little tongue in cheek.
You're talking about the movie.
Heinlein, I like the movie.
Oh, I kind of liked Starship Troopers.
Yeah, I did.
I like the book
not
better.
So much.
I like the image they have of the troopers themselves.
Yeah,
I in the book. As opposed
I wanted to
what
see
they
that,
show
that
in
mecha
the,
suits.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it's the stupidest thing to send troops without heavy support. They had no mechanized support. They had no
Well, then they give
artillery.
Them forts with no fucking roof.
I know. It's like those things are just ridiculously stupid. I love the bugs. I love the sense
of humor. And they're fucking bugs. Yeah,
I know. I like it. But they're smart bugs. The only good bug is a dead bug. I love that kind of stuff. You know, that whole militant, like, do your part, you know, kind of thing.
And like you said, I think the movie is more tongue-in-cheek. The book kind of is, too. The book is kind of satirical.
It straddles that.
Yes, it does.
Satire.
It definitely does.
And I know
and
the
it also has his, also has Heinlein's imperialistic outlook. Right. Heinlein was a pure
but it was the same guy that
conservative, militaristic, as many
very fascist books. Guy,
To be honest, the best book he ever wrote was Stranger in a Strange Land, which is oddly that totally goes against everything he ever did. You know, it's not militaristic. It's, you know, that more that hippie vibe, you know, that whole thing
was.
I just think that that's when I read that book, Heinlein can actually write. Because I really do like that book.
What year was that written?
In the 60s.
60s?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly.
It won the Nebula and the awards.
It does stand out among his works. Yeah. Yes. Starship Troopers got a lot of publicity because, again, reinvigorated because of the movie.
I think it's because of the visuals that he kind of invokes. About it.
And it's a quick, it's a short book. It's a really short, like a pulp length book. And it's a quick read.
Unlike Stranger in a Strange Land, which is
being in those mech suits and then shot out of the spaceship like a revolver, you know, and parachuting down in these canisters and all that. To me, that visual would have been really cool if they interpret, you know, done that. But
a more literal translation. The animated movies are really good. The sequels to Starship Troopers are not. They're not really good, but I do like the animated, the Rico's Roughnecks or whatever it's called. There's like six movies that all take place on different planets. I think those are a lot more. That. Those are a lot more entertaining.
I tried to watch the second Star Trooper.
No, it's bad. Yeah, I just stopped. I'm like, no,
horrible,
no.
Horrible.
It's terrible because it doesn't really. It just changes the whole story. You don't care about the characters at all. You don't really follow them through anything. You know, this one you kind of build up a sense of like with a lot of war movies. The trope is you get to see them working their way through basic training, so you kind of get to know them and root for them. You know, and you get to see how the society divides into your talents. You know, it's very much a sterile, like, what can you do? Then you're going here.
Much better than Platoon.
Yeah, you know.
No, it's not. But you're right. No, I like that about the first movie of the first Starship Troopers because, you know, you got to know the characters. You know, it's that typical.
You were set up,
Well, it's the setup. Yeah,
they actually avoided tropes in that first one because you had this group of people that grew up together that went off to the, you know, because you had to have service, and then they all ended up like they may have been intimate, but then they went off, you know, and you've got what's the woman that is now the fucking starship,
pilot. Doogie Howser is military intelligence and is psychic and
it's afraid.
And his change over the thing, he looks fucking haggard by the time he's in intelligence. He looks like invigorated and as a youth, and then after that he's like, this shit's, we gotta fucking do something about this
shit. In full Nazi regalia.
That'd be in full Nazi regalia.
But
we also, this is Paul Verhoeven, who's coming off of
RoboCop and
RoboCop,
stuff.
Yeah, but also Showgirls,
and Total Recall.
Yeah. Now, one of those movies is sockworthy. I'm not going to say which one.
Jazz hands.
That's right.
Oh, jizz hands, sir. Jizz hands.
Okay, aside, I think we criminal. RoboCop.
And when you do that, it just kind of flings it everywhere. So quit.
I think we got to end the episode on that.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say.
Yeah, let's not do a show on Showgirls.
No.
Oh, that's a terrible movie.
Tar and Feather are out of fucking control right now. We gotta edit this out.
No.
They're too big. Not the edit.
they're too big to blur.
That's the episode.
Love my sensor bar. Yeah.
Too big to blur.
Too big to blur.
That's my nickname.
That's a huge, big black block you got.
Who's this music?
This is a band called Fish Funk. Again, Fish Funk, PHISHFUNK.
Fish Funk.
Yeah, and I found them on archive.org, as I do with most of our music. And we always have links to the actual music in the bio
description.
I like a lot of tipsy.
And I thought, you know, we get some bass in there. Let's get some real good, real instruments.
Some good bass, too.
Yeah. And
I have to admit, I really do like funk. After I met you guys, funk is it. Yeah.
Yes? Hey, Dr. Tar, I like your funk. All right. And you have been listening.
That's good because I'm so funky. Or just a tad bit off.
Insane Radio is on Facebook. Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema is on Facebook. Tar and Feather Psycho Cinema has a YouTube. cage.
Presents.
I'm out.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on Facebook. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on YouTube. Montag Lewis on Instagram.
Montag Lewis.
Yes, we are doing the... We're milking the three episodes. Three episodes on
milking.
The top 100 horror movies of the 1980s.
Yes.
Thanks to Flick. 80s.
Good, yep. good.
Yeah.
I'm listening to those. Those are good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we're hoping. I reached out to a singer named Riley Pinkerton. She's the head of this band called Castle Rat, which I think you guys would love. It's like doom metal, Black Sabbath-y, but she dresses up like Red Sonja, and all their songs are like fantasy and sword and sorcery. And she's I'm totally
yeah. I'm in.
And like, and all their videos look like they were shot like on an 8mm camera. You know,
and their arch nemesis band is Cathedral Dove.
No, but yeah, I'm hoping she'll come on. Yeah, they're awesome. I really like them. Yeah.
Oh, We Freaks.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Is on Facebook.
WEEFREEKZ.
Family friendly comic that is just absolutely beautiful and created, drawn, written by our great friend John Boise, aka Lou Fez.
Boing.
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 No period. Boing.
Oh, so the Midnight Gadfly has joined the HABP, Hot Air Balloon Police. Our motto is,
they're getting away! You and the big red, white, blue balloon, pull over!
Their motto is more gas.
Step on the gas, Scotty!
You're full of hot air.